At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan, and this week we're talking about formats in Magic the Gathering that are not CEDH or Commander, which is normally our focus.
Yeah, I guess I should have changed the intro for this. I didn't even think of it.
That's all.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning
in Magic.
I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan. Sorry. So that's what we're talking about this week.
Spoiler alert, but I guess this Sunday's video is not going to be a CEDH video, so I figured this was going to be a perfect time for us to get our thoughts out about just formats we don't get to talk about on the channel so much.
Yeah, this weekend we're playing Canlander at recommendation by one of our patrons, so I'm really excited for that. But there's a whole bunch of other Magic the Gathering formats that we play and enjoy besides CDH, and we're just going to dip our little toes, see who's out there, see any other Commander players that also like any of these formats. Let us know down below. Let's start a little discussion.
All right, so I figure we start with the original format.
Yeah.
Standard.
Great. I love it. Type one.
Let's define what standard is. So standard is all of the more recent cards in Magic the Gathering's history, and that's your playable pool.
Right.
So this goes back, it used to go back 2 years, but they actually recently extended it so that it now goes back, 36 months that it goes back now?
To be honest, I feel like it's changed so much. I'm not really sure. It does change a lot, but now I know it's quite a while. I know there's sets that have been in standard for like years at this point that haven't rotated out because they've kept them in on purpose.
Yeah, up to 12 expansions can be in standard at a time now, depending on where we're at in the year. So currently, sets as old as the Innistrad, Midnight Hunt, and Crimson Vow sets are currently still in standard. Normally, they would have rotated like a couple months ago at this point, but you can still play all those cards in the current format.
It's also important to note that for any Commander players out there, standard is 60 card, 1v1, 4 copies of a card in your deck at any time with a 15 card sideboard.
Oh, that's a great point
to talk
about.
That's a good distinction, because I feel like at this point, there are a lot of Magic players that started playing Magic with Commander and may not even be aware. Now, if you're listening to a CDH podcast, that's pretty specific. You probably know what the other formats are, but if you're just looking into these other formats for the first time, you may not know.
Should we explain what a sideboard is then, too?
Oh, sure. 3 games a match. We have enough time for that when it's just 1v1.
3 games to 50 minutes specifically. Like, you get a lot more time for Magic that way. So
in between games, you get to go to your 15-card sideboard and swap up to all 15 cards. Actually, your sideboard can be up to 15. It's not exactly 15 anymore. You can swap those cards in between games.
Yeah, exactly. So that way, if you have like a bad matchup against a certain deck, you can bring in all the cards that will make the matchup better for you.
Exactly.
Currently in standard, we should talk about what's currently in standard. So it's all the way from Innistrad Midnight Hunt all the way up to Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which is the most recent set. At the end of quarter 4, or this will rotate out for quarter 4 in 2024, both Innistrad sets and Kamigawa and Streets of New Capenna are all going to rotate out.
But that's not until the winter of this year that we're currently in the summer of. So we
Correct.
Have some time still.
Yeah, and by that time, there's going to be even more sets that come into the fold. Now, not every set standard playable, right? Like the Modern Horizon sets aren't playable in standard.
Well, they would be playable. They're not legal. You're not allowed to play them. I just didn't understand what
you
mean.
Oh, yeah.
They would be really playable, but they're not allowed. You can't do that.
Not allowed. Yeah, you can't actually play them there. Do you play much standard at all anymore?
No, I used to. When I first got into Magic, standard was like the thing that I got into Magic with was standard. But now, these days, I don't. I've looked at some of the deck lists. I watched the Pro Tour. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Domain, Atraxa, that sounds like a fucking awesome deck. The Esper decks look really cool, too. If I were to play right now, I was tinkering on either Domain, Atraxa, or that Mono Red deck that's out with the new bird. What's the name of the bird?
There's the new bird from Outlaws of Thunder Junction that is basically Kilnfleened on a flyer.
Yes. And the name of it is this name. It's right here.
Slick Shot Show Off.
Slick Shot Show Off.
I was never going to get that.
Not a chance. What an impossible name to remember. If I were to play standard right now, I think I'd probably ease in with that mono red deck. It seems fun and fast. And I don't love spending a ton of money right away on standard, as the red decks are normally easy to just like, let me get in the format quick first and then build another deck after
that. Play it on Arena. Just play it on Arena.
I don't like the computer games. I'm an old man. I like touching paper cards in my hands.
I mean, so do I. But like, I got Arena so that I can play Magic when I want to play Magic and not be only allowed to play Magic when I have someone else to physically play it with me. And I've actually been playing more Standard on there.
It is crazy that I can play it on my phone right now. Like, you can get Arena on your phone.
Oh, I have it.
And I don't do it. That is wild to me. I had Arena a while ago, like, but I don't know why. I lost contact with it. I just forgot about it.
It sucks on your phone. Yeah. That's why. Like, is that everything's why? So small. Like, if you don't know all the cards, it's a pain in the butt.
Maybe I'll get back into Arena at some point for Standard. The format does seem really cool right now, but I like the cards too much. The paper is what I'm after.
I've been playing the blue-white deck in Standard right now. It's actually the exact list that top-aided the Pro Tour. And I've been having a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of counter spells in it. You basically win the game by wrathing the board and winning with the incubate token that wrath comes with, which is wild.
What a control player's dream, a wrath that comes with a way to finish the game afterwards. Right? Like, that's incredible.
And the Wanderer a nuts card.
Yes, Wanderer is very powerful. It does so many things.
So many things, yeah. But Raphine also seems to be the other card that's just, like, running Standard right now.
That's the one that I feel like I see the most people chatter about. Although it didn't actually win the Pro Tour, I think it had, like, a crazy amount of appearances. And the deck seems so good. It's just full of good rares and mythic rares.
Yeah, exactly. You get to play Sheoldred, the Apocalypse in those decks, too. So the Esper midrange decks definitely catch my eye as well.
I agree. They look cool. But I don't know. For me right now, if I was getting to Standard, it'd be the mono red deck. Other than that, I don't know that it's happening. Most of my enjoyment of Magic is like with old powerful cards. Yeah. So anytime there's a format that's not quite as powerful, I'm just a little bit less interested in it for some reason.
Do you just want to move on to some of the more powerful?
Let's move on.
Should we talk about real quick? Did you know there's cards banned in Standard still right now?
Yeah, sure. But I couldn't tell you what they are.
There's four of them. So it's the Meat Hook Massacre.
Okay.
Fable of the Mirror Breaker.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense. That card's especially so as good. We talk about these other formats that are coming up.
Yeah.
Invoke Despair.
That's the removal spell, the black removal spell?
1/4 black. Yeah, that card's nutty. I don't know if you've ever played against that card in Standard, but it ruined my day on Arena.
What
a couple
does it do?
Times.
Isn't it like a mini Cruel Ultimatum or something?
1/4 black for sorcery. Target opponent sacrifices a creature. If they can't, they lose 2 life and you draw a card. Then repeat this process for an enchantment and a planeswalker. This is a 3-for-1 no matter what. You're getting rid of a creature and then drawing up to 2 cards normally.
All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's just, it does kind of a lot in one package. Okay.
It's too much for Standard.
Interesting.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And then Reckoner Bankbuster also got banned.
What is that card?
This one was from Kamigawa. This is a 2-mana vehicle. It's a 4/4, but for 2 mana and tapping it, you can draw a card and remove one of the 3 counters that it comes with. And then if there's no counters, you make a pilot.
Oh, okay. I think I played this card in Pioneer sideboards or something.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It was like a great control card because for 1 card and a bunch of mana, you were able to draw 3 cards with it. So it's kind of like a think twice with extra text.
Good rate. Yeah, draws cards, kills your opponents. Yeah, card seems cool. It's strange to me to see a card like that banned, though, because I think I'm so used to like Commander ban lists. And when normally the things that are banned are like extremely broken, whereas these cards just seem like a little too good on rate is kind of all that they
are. They're all like too good of value. Well, I guess the Meat Hook Massacre is like a combo piece, technically. Like if they print the wrong cards in there, you can go infinite with the Meat Hook Massacre.
And they don't want that for Standard.
Probably not. They tend to keep infinite combos out of Standard unless they accidentally forget that Saheeli Rai and Felidar Guardian go together.
Fair. Okay. Yeah, sure. I wasn't playing Standard at that time.
Neither was I, but I just heard about it a lot.
That is funny.
Like every podcast I listened to at the time was on it. Yeah. Do you want to start talking about an older format then?
I would love to. Should we inch back a little bit?
We're going to inch back a little bit. We're going to talk about Pioneer next.
Pioneer's fun.
Because this is a real format, so that's why we're talking about it.
You can get to the Pro Tour with this format. Well, you can get to the Pro Tour with Standard too.
Do you know what set Pioneer starts at? I had to Google it because I didn't remember.
No.
It starts at Return to Ravnica.
Oh, okay,
which
sure.
I always thought was a very interesting spot because at the time that they created Pioneer, you didn't get Liliana of the Veil. You still don't get Snapcaster Mage. So, like, there was a surprisingly large amount in Innistrad that, like, you don't have access to that was still really good.
The one main quality of Pioneer that is cool is that there's no fetch lands, which is true about also for Standard, but now we're getting to play with older cards with no fetch lands, so that kind of changes the format quite a lot.
Sometimes Standard has fetch lands, and that's only a temporary thing. I guess Pioneer has banned fetch lands from the format.
Is that how it is?
Let's take a look at the Pioneer ban list. Here we go. Pioneer banned cards. Yeah, Bloodstained Mire is on the list of Pioneer banned cards. So, like, they're in the format because Khans of Tarkir came out after
Return to Ravnica. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But they just straight up didn't want them in the format. Yeah.
Do you play anything in Pioneer right now?
I don't. No.
No, me neither. If I was going to play anything, it'd be that Rakdos Vampire deck with Vein Ripper. Is that what it's called?
That is the most popular deck on MTG Goldfish, but not actually by as much as I thought it would be.
I mean, it's a black-red deck. It's my favorite style of deck. I love, like, black-red, hand disruption, bunch of removal, ways to cheat out efficient creatures or something like that. I'm
we should
big fan
talk
of
about
deck.
This deck a little bit more. So for those of you who don't know Vein Ripper, you might be reading the card on the screen and going, how the hell is this card good in any format, right? But you pair that up with Sorin Imperious Bloodlord so that you can, for 3 mana, play Sorin and plus him up, and then just put Vein Ripper into play for 3. Its ward ability makes it so that nobody really wants to do anything to remove it, and it's so good at killing your opponents after it comes into play on turn 3 too.
Right, yeah, and like the fact that it is, and no matter what, at bare minimum, like a 2-for-1, because if they have a removal for it, they also have to sacrifice a creature, 2 of their cards for 1 of yours. You get to play it on so early, and it's big. I don't play Pioneer a ton, so I don't know a ton about this deck, so I don't want to speak up my ass, but it seems like a deck that I would love playing. It gets to play Thoughtseize, it gets to play a bunch of spot removal, gets to cheat out an unfair creature. It's red black. It's like my perfect style of deck.
I love the one ofs. One of Shields of the Apocalypse, one of Kalidus, Traitor of Get in here. I love Kalidus.
Kalidus is so cool.
Kalidus is so good. And Blood Tithe Harvester like runs this deck too.
Quietly is such a powerful card. Does a whole bunch. It can be removal. It can be a little extra cards.
Like
can
a
be
really good attacker too, even.
Yeah, 3 power on 2 mana is great. It's great.
Yeah, that's probably the deck that I would look to as well.
I also love Edgar. I'm a big casual Edgar Vampires fan. So the fact that
dude, Vampire
able to play
anything with you
so
is
so good.
Huge.
I'm in, yeah. I don't know. Now that I'm not playing Scam in Modern, I kind of want to put this deck together in Pioneer because it shares so many cards, so maybe after this podcast, I'll do that.
I don't know. So Pioneer, when it first came out, the other LGS that I was going to at the time stopped doing their Modern Night, and it actually, like, kind of got me out of going to my LGS for a little while. I mean, like 2 weeks later, the pandemic hit. So that also stopped me from going to my LGS for a little while.
Bad timing.
Yeah, just bad timing all around. But like, I really haven't looked a terribly large amount into Pioneer since then. Like, Arena has Explorer, which I have later on this list as part of like the Arena format section. I didn't even know we were going to get to it.
That's not a real format. I'm not talking about that
right?
Shit.
So like, it's mostly Pioneer, but it doesn't have all the sets. And even when they add sets to Arena, they don't put all the fucking cards from the set in. They're all remastered instead.
Why?
Because they don't. I don't know. It's so
we're not complaining.
Stupid.
I don't want to complain. We're not complaining.
We're not complaining.
We don't complain.
We don't complain. But no, I haven't really gotten into Pioneer. I really haven't had a reason to want to get into Pioneer. If anything, I'll print off 60 cards to put in sleeves.
We'll make a video. Yeah.
I won't have something that I'm going to be like, oh, new set comes out. What am I going to do to my mono black discard deck in Pioneer?
The only reason why I would play Pioneer or Standard at this moment is because of RCQs. Is that you can go to a regional and championship qualifier in either of those formats right now and potentially win and then go get to the Pro Tour somehow, and competitive Magic is so cool and fun. So like that would be the only reason that would be interesting to me if that was an option to do that. But besides that, this isn't like the format that I want to jam every week.
I'm sorry, I gotta complain again about that too, because now like that Vampire deck's like $761 on this. So like,
I mean, I
you already have a bunch
cards.
Of the cards,
yeah.
Right? Like I've been playing the game for over a decade, right? So like we just have a lot of cards that come up too. But like for just one season to play a deck a couple times is like another thing I'm not super jazzed about.
It's not a good rate. What is that called? It's not plus minus.
A return on your investment?
It is a bad return on your investment.
It is a terrible return on your investment.
If you value the going to the Pro Tour much higher than the monetary costs of it, then it can be great if you can eventually get there, because that's super fun.
See, what I do is I look to the next format that's on our list. I look to Modern.
Let's just go to Modern then, because that's probably my favorite format on this list, I think.
Right now, it's one of mine that's on here. So Modern starts at 8th edition. It's everything basically that doesn't have an old Magic border is what Modern is. And this has been like my favorite 60-card format for fucking ever, basically, since like I got into Magic.
Because it's the best.
It is objectively the best.
Objectively the best format.
I really like the place that it's in. I'm really excited for Modern Masters 3 to come out as well and shake up the format.
It's gonna change everything.
Oh, totally.
I'm very excited as well.
Me as well. Definitely me as well.
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 What a coincidence.
Great name for a child. Me as well.
Me as well.
Should we talk about the cards that are banned? Should we never have kids?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the cards that are banned in Pioneer. Should we do that?
We talked about the fetch lands that are banned in Pioneer, and that's really the most important thing.
Okay, what else is banned in Pioneer? Do you have the list?
Oh, we're going back? Yeah, I mean, Winota's banned in Pioneer. Who surprised? Teferi Time Raveler, Oko Thief of Crowns, Lurrus Dream Den, all the good cards
that would make
me want to play this format are banned.
All the really good cards.
Walking Ballista's banned.
Oh, okay. It's a combo card, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Felidar Guardian's ban.
Okay.
We can't go infinite. Nexus of Fate is banned.
Fuck, I love Nexus of Fate.
Underworld Breach is banned.
Oh, this format sucks.
This is why we go to modern. This is why we're going to modern, yeah. But like modern is it is a larger investment because a lot of those cards are significantly older. But especially since like we first got into modern, they've reprinted the shit out of a lot of stuff. So like getting access to fetch lands and shock lands is a lot easier than it used to be. It's not perfect, but it's certainly a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah, and to be honest, the fetch lands, to me, it seems like that's most of the cost a lot of the time is the fetch lands. So yeah. Once you have the fetch lands, it's only like 100 or two sometimes to switch to another deck with like, yes, that is still like a lot of money. I'm not gonna say that it's not. I think it's worth it. It's fun. You can go over time and slowly build up store credit at your local game store and get there slowly. I've had a ton of fun with modern. It is the format that we play at our local game store like 1 to 2 times a week.
I like that more because that means that like that's a way that I have to also continue to get extra value out of the deck as well. Is I have like more opportunities for me locally personally to be able to play. But I'm playing Scam right now and I'm having a blast. Yeah. I finally moved off of my Jund phase and I'm like, well, I can basically play the same deck but actually good right now. So
yeah.
So I'm on Rakdos Scam and I've been loving it.
Scam is great. Fury recently got banned because they didn't realize that Grief was actually the strongest card in that deck, I guess, or they just didn't care.
Which is fine because they like to ban cards that like won't completely stop a strategy from being played. So now at least like you can still play Scam and it's still the most popular deck in the format.
Isn't
right
that
now
funny? Yeah, it just got something banned from it. I think Scam is great. I played that deck for a little while. There's a good chance that I would play it now, but I just found a deck that I kind of like a little bit more.
What did you just move to?
I am just recently moved to Jund Creativity, so we are both secretly Jund guys here still, even though
it's
we're not.
It's never been a secret. Yeah. Everyone's known we've
been
Jund
guys
for
You're not
a
playing
time.
Any green cards. I'm only playing green cards in my sideboard, I'm pretty sure.
Honestly, and I'm thinking about putting Pick Your Poisons in my sideboard.
Dude, I think Creativity is a blast. I've had a lot of fun. You can get a lot of times 1, 2. I got 3 Archon of Cruelties in play at the same time the other day. The deck is super a blast. It's kind of similar to Scam. Scam does its broken thing in the beginning stages of the game. I do my broken thing on like turn 4 or 5. But besides that, it's these two decks are very similar, like Rakdos package of like Thought Seizes, Lightning Bolts, Fatal Pushes, shit like that.
Yeah, except my broken thing is on turn 1, I can evoke Grief and then use Not Dead After All on it so that at the end of this interaction, I have a 4-3 with Menace and you're down the best 2 cards in your deck.
And then my best thing is I Creativity killing my Dwarf or like Goblin token that my weird land or my Fable of the Mirror Breaker creates and going through my deck until I hit one of the only creatures in the deck at which I play 4, Archon of Cruelty. And it's also very funly a reanimate deck because I can persist it back with persist and I have the Surveil lands that you can get from the top of your library and put into your graveyard, which is fucking awesome.
Oh, that's wild.
Dude, there's so much like small synergies with the cards in the deck, especially with like Fable being able to like discard the Archon and then using the persist to bring it back. That's my broken thing that I'm doing on like turn 4 or 5 or 6.
What's the tutor that lets everyone Imperial Seal, like you and another opponent appear Imperial Seal? Is that good now that you have Surveil lands?
I don't know what the name of that card is off the top of my head, but no, I don't think that it's good.
That's not
yeah,
good
it's
enough.
Still not good. Yeah. Close though. That is a fun interaction that I'm sure you could try out, but that's too cute for me, I think.
But I really like where Modern's at. I really like the speed of Modern's rotation, quote unquote, as well. Like, people will often say that the Modern Horizon sets are now Modern's rotation because it's the set that prints the most powerful busted stuff. And because of the impact that Modern Horizons 2 had on the set, definitely changed the landscape of Modern a ton. But part of me is also like, they've listened to that feedback, right? And if players didn't like it, I'm sure that they can scale down the Modern Horizons 3 cards a little bit. I mean, we've already seen what a lot of them are. I want to do the full set review. We're not doing the Modern Horizons set review today, so I don't want to talk about a ton of the cards, but I've already seen that the free spells are less powerful than the Modern Horizons 2 free spells.
I think that's true, yeah.
And I don't necessarily want to use that as the only barometer for the power level of Modern Horizons 3, but like, if every Modern Horizons set, we're going to get a full cycle of free spells, if these are like the least powerful of all of them, I think that might indicate that this set's not going to be as warping as Modern Horizons 2 was.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. The only thing that makes me think I'm not sure is that free things are dangerous, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Free things are dangerous. So there might not be a deck right now that can truly abuse any of these cards, although I think there might be a couple. After everything comes out, there probably is going to be a new deck that can be made that can use some extra free spells or something. So the format's going to change, but I think it's a good thing. I like when Modern shifts up and changes.
Oh, no, me too.
It's a great thing.
And
yeah.
Honestly, if a brand new deck comes out of it too,
that's
I think that's awesome. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Modern is kind of of cool because there's like 40 decks that you could play and they'd be decent. Yes, there are there's a tier one and a tier two, and there are the top decks that are most popular, but all the other decks, it's kind of like CDH. All the other decks are right underneath there. Like, you can win if you know the deck well and you're a good Magic player, which I think is a good spot for a meta to be.
Modern has always been like that, where the more that you know the format, the better that you're going to do, which is also another reason why I always liked playing Modern, because if like that was my exclusive 60 card format, I could really be rewarded for kind of not caring about Legacy at the time either then, and be like, I don't have to keep so many stupid cards in my head. I just have to know how Abrupt Decay interacts with Splinter Twin. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, the good old days.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm definitely longful for that. Do you want to move on, talk about Legacy?
Let's move on. Yeah, Legacy's cool. Great, too.
So Legacy is all the sets.
All of them.
Should we talk about the Modern ban list? Because we were talking about the other
ban list. Yeah, we should talk about the Modern ban list.
All right, yeah, let's go to the Modern ban list here. All right, couple of notable cards as I come across them. Birthing Pod.
Yeah.
This was a Modern deck that I played early on in my Modern career, and I loved it. And I'm so mad at Siege Rhino for ruining this card.
I completely agree. I never played Birthing Pod, but I always thought it was a fun deck to play against.
This format doesn't like fast mana, so Chrome Mox is banned. Anything that's going to be completely busted like that. Deathrite Shaman's banned.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of comparisons of Deathrite Shaman to Raghavan. It's not close. Deathrite's better.
Deathrite's so much better than Raghavan.
Raghavan's a great card. Truly an incredible one drop. Deathrite's better. Yeah. Different level.
Raghavan's, you can like get rid of your opponent's Raghavan with your own Raghavan.
Yeah.
Deathrite Shamans had these weird matchups where they would just stare at each other and no one would be able to activate them because your opponent would just activate it in response and snipe your mana instead.
Right. And then there were some times where you had the opportunity to snipe your opponents, but you had to wait because there was something else. There was so many layers, which is, I think, a cool part of Magic cards when they create a lot of like complex decision layers.
Yeah, like on your end step, you would like tap it just to get your opponent to use it and then it's free on your turn.
Exactly, yeah. But Deathrite is stronger than Raghavan, and I think it's probably a good thing that it can be at its banned right now.
Here's one that's on your list, Hogak.
Fuck, I miss my guy. I miss Hogak very much. Yeah. It makes sense. Hogak is just a little bit too quick, I think. But I loved those days when I could play. When I was playing Hogak, it was the easiest 3-0s that I've ever gotten in my life with that deck. It was truly broken. The worst matchup was the mirror. That was the only thing that I was afraid of. At one point, I was main decking Leyline of the Void because the only thing that I cared about was if I faced against the mirror in game one. So having the Leyline to stop them was like a good way to win. It was a very bizarre time, but I like that deck a lot.
On the topic of the ban list, is there anything that you think should be unbanned? Like, not just because you like it, but like anything that you legitimately think could be unbanned in the format?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know that I play Modern enough to truly know. I mean, in the past 6 months, I've played Modern a ton, but I only just got back into Modern like a year or two ago. So I don't know that I'd really know. Splinter Twin, I think, honestly, I'm glad that it's banned. Although when I was playing Jund, I liked playing the Splinter Twin matchup.
Oh, yeah, because we played four Abrupt Decays.
Four Abrupt Decay, Thoughtseize, Bunch Removal. It felt like it was a good matchup.
Best matchup.
I agree that that's not where Modern should be right now. I think on your end step, I have nothing, and then all of a sudden on your end step, I'm going to flash in the sky, untap, play my Splinter Twin, and win the game from there. I think all of the other combos, they have to do like a little bit of setup, or they have to have a little bit more restriction than Splinter Twin.
A lot of them also are like multiple more cards than just those two. Like, you have to have like a bunch of other stuff going on too.
I mean, to be honest, creativity, I was joking with you yesterday that creativity kind of feels like Splinter Twin, and like at the end of your turn, I'm going to fetch my fetch land to go find a Dwarven Mine to put the Dwarf in play, untap, and then on my turn, I'm going to slam down creativity and get my thing and basically win the game. But it's still a basically. It's not like the game is just over right now. Like, you still get to play thinking you have a chance against my
Wrath
when you don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's what makes it a little bit different, is that like you have the illusion of still being able to win against creativity, but it's also not like, it's according to MTG Goldfish, it's only like 5.9% of the meta. So like, it's nowhere near dominant enough to be considered bannable. But I think I agree. I really don't have anything. I'm scrolling through the list right now, and I'm like really happy that all these cards aren't in the format. Like, maybe Punishing Fire is at the point now where like, it's 2 damage, technically 1 damage to a player because of the way that Grove of the Burn Willows works with it, where you have to make your opponent gain life.
That's an interesting one, because I definitely feel like it's in the camp of like Fury, and I feel like if you're banning Fury, like Punishing Fire is like the signpost of what they don't want in Modern, of like red, repeatable, too much damage to small creatures effects.
That makes
they don't
sense.
Want that.
Like, it's on the same level as like Umezawa's Jitte too, where like they want creature decks to be a thing
they
in
want
Modern,
specifically
definitely.
1/1 creatures to be possible in Modern.
Yeah, exactly. Which is funny that Bowmaster's in the format.
And
please
Red and Six.
Don't ban them, but
yeah, we still have some options, but I guess Punishing Fire's too much. I agree. I think Punishing Fire Fire would, honestly, I don't even know that it'd be that great. Like, I don't know that Jund is a good enough deck, and that's the only deck that would probably use this to, like, make it truly matter.
Maybe, like, Ponza decks would want it, too. Like, if for yeah. some reason you're in red-green, but like,
does that make Ponza good enough?
No. I right? mean, that does that alone, no.
Maybe we're talking our asses. Who knows? I think Punishing Fire could probably be unbanned.
Yeah, but everything else here, like, I'm totally okay with. I don't want it to play against Hypergenesis. Like, I don't want to play against Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath anymore. Like, I think I'm fine with all these cards.
I didn't play
banned.
Against much against Uro. That's another one that feels like he can't be that bad, but I feel like it would be very much bad.
It would still be bad, yeah. All right, cool. Let's talk about Legacy.
I like Legacy.
So this is all the sets, but different ban lists, though. The most Legacy I've played is on the channel. I think outside of the Childewind games that we've done for the channel, I've played one additional match of Legacy,
okay.
and that's
it. Oh, I don't know that I actually knew that. I play Legacy a decent amount, not a ton. There aren't any local stores that play Legacy, and I'm an only paper player right now, so I don't really play any other way. The only time that I play now is against some other friends or against you playing for the channel or something. I love Reanimator. It's classic Reanimator.
Oh, yeah.
You have to play actual Entomb, actual Reanimate, actual Gristlebrand. Although nowadays...
Actual Atraxa.
Yeah, nowadays Atraxa is probably most... People would say Trax is better than Gristlebrand.
You're not sick of doing that in Commander,
no,
that you need to
yeah.
do it in another format,
Absolutely.
I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. Trax is great. It's so funny that I did not like the card at all, and it's quickly become like one of my favorite creatures, I think. It's just so good.
So good, yeah.
But the Reanimator strategy, a lot of the decks have moved recently to just like Scaminator, which is basically Scam from Modern, except you get to play blue cards, and you just play like one Atraxa every once in a while. It gets to your graveyard off of an Entomb or something, but you're not really a full Reanimator deck. I'm still on the Rakdos version that plays Faithless Looting and is an actual full-blown Reanimator deck. It's a little bit quicker, but Orcish Bowmaster is really good in Legacy.
And like making sure that you can have something else to take Force of Wills out of people's hands, whether they use it on your grief or you actually get to take it. Like, I think that's important too.
Yeah, I mean, having Unmask is also fun because between Unmask and Grief and Thoughtseize, I have a ton of ways to shred my opponent's hand, like right from turn one, which is great.
That's so gross.
And then if you do get to land a fatty like a Gristlebrand and you can draw 14, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be able to keep on unmasking and grief them. And then eventually they just have no cards in your hand. And that feels like a pretty great spot to be in. But the deck is, from how I've played it, it can be weak to like Days and Force of Will decks. If there's decks that's not playing blue and doesn't have counter spells, deck is really, really good.
Everyone else just loses
right.
the game.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you can play around it for sure. Days is, you can play around. You have the Thoughtseize, so you can try to garner it. But those matchups are a little bit tough, especially because from what I've seen, like the most popular Days Force of Will decks are also playing Orcish Bowmaster, which is really good against Gristlebrand. So it's just like another weapon that they have.
Yeah, definitely.
But the format's great. It's similar to Modern, but I would just say like it's turned up by like several notches. It's like two turns quicker.
In power, I guess, yeah. I don't think that the format is as fast as I was... Oh, this sentence is going to feel weird. I don't think the format is as fast as I was kind of like led to believe that it would be.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of the fast mana is still banned.
Right.
But like you do get Chromax though, at least in this format.
Yeah, I guess it's true. I don't know that a ton of decks play Chromax. I know there's a lands deck that plays Mox Diamond.
Lotus Petal's a card too. I know like
oh, yeah.
your deck
play Lotus
plays
Petal.
Lotus Petal, right?
Four of them, yeah.
Yes, yeah, like there's certain decks that want it in order to make sure that they're winning fast, but a lot of decks don't because it's just straight up card disadvantage in your 60 card deck where like that's a lot more important. Your card quality is a little bit worse in these formats than in CEDH like we're used to, I would say.
I would also say in 1v1, card disadvantage for you means you've gone down a full card compared to your opponent's one card, but in CEDH, you going down a full card to your opponent's three cards, it feels like going down a card is less of a percentage of what your opponents altogether have, so it makes less of a difference. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
I think that makes sense, and I'm going to stick with that.
Resource fighting is an incredibly important part of 60 card formats. So the cost of discarding a card from your hand is significantly greater when you don't have three opponents feeding your Rhystic Studies
right.
to help you like refuel at the same time,
yeah.
right? There's definitely a lot different in this scenario.
Yeah, the format can be very quick for sure. I know that Reanimator, I can get a Gristlebrand on turn one sometimes, but certainly several games where the turn it can go very long, certain decks can drag it on, it can be a very grindy,
I guess
grindy
the,
format.
The last deck that I played for the channel was a Beans deck, so it was definitely a lot slower, and like you're trying to play Beans and then use the free elementals from Modern Horizons to get you card draw and spell value to, like, again, make up for discarding these cards to them.
Leyline Binding and Force of Will. I've seen decks that are just playing Beans and basically those cards as, like, big drops, and that's all that matters. If all of your interaction just cantrips, you're in a great spot to be. Gets rid of the card disadvantage thing.
So I really like that deck, but I don't own any dual lands.
Duels,
well, I
yeah.
own one now. I just got my first one. Ah,
that's fucking awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Taiga and Itali. That's
hell
fucking
yeah.
Sweet. But yeah, I don't have like any other ones. So like building a paper deck is not something I would ever be able to do for this format. So I've kind of moved past it.
It's unfortunate. That's the biggest move against Legacy is that they're not, from what I've seen, they're not quite as proxy friendly, at least in their tournaments and stuff, because it's like a Wizard sanctioned tournament. So they kind of can't be. And then too many players are too far priced out of it. Modern decks, yes, they are expensive, but Legacy decks, because of the reserve list and duels, they're just in another stratosphere. It's impossible.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's talk about some cards that are banned in Legacy.
Okay.
Here's a couple cards that are legal in Modern, but are banned in Legacy. Ragavan, Nimble Pilferer.
Isn't that funny? Delver makes things so different.
So
because,
different.
And I'm not positive, but because Blue-Red in Legacy gets to play Daze and things like that, and Force of Will, you have so much more free interaction. So protecting your Ragavan so easily just, like, steamrolls, like, very quickly, whereas in Modern, it's hard to protect the turn one Ragavan as easily.
A lot of times, yeah. So, like, in Scam, what I need to start doing more, I think, is going turn one Thoughtseize into turn two Ragavan. Like, when I have Thoughtseize and Ragavan in my hand for my turn one play, I think dashing Ragavan's better when you know to get the removal spell out of their hand.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different in Legacy when, like, it's not like, well, I just hope you don't have Bolt.
Because of those free interactions, specifically Daze and Force of Will, the tempo cards are a lot more powerful in Legacy from my experience with the format.
Is that why Renin 6 is banned too? Why is Renin 6 banned?
Yeah, to be honest, this one I'm not as sure about. And there's some Legacy players that are screaming in the comments. Is it strictly because Rug Delver used Renin 6 and it made it too powerful? Is it because a lands deck? I know lands can be very oppressive at times. Maybe, like, it was really good there. I'm curious to know, though. I don't actually know the story.
If your first 2020 doesn't work out, you just get another 2020.
Yeah. I mean, we are a Magic the Gathering podcast. Maybe, can we look
it
up? Is it possible?
We're not a Magic, we're not a Legacy podcast.
No, that's true. I feel like there's a little note in their banning announcement for Renin 6.
Prior to the addition of Renin 6 into Temur Delver decks,
I said that. Okay.
The Legacy metagame was generally healthy, is what they said.
Okay. I imagine that's also what happened with Ragavan, is it just made Delver strategies too good. And they want Delver strategies to be, like, fine, not too good. Like, Delver already gets to use Brainstorm really well, which also probably should be banned, but it's, like, the signal post of the format. That's not the right phrase.
Oh, dude. Wasteland.
Oh, Wasteland. Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah, Wasteland. That makes a lot of sense. I would definitely play that. Those four,
oh,
eight cards in
God.
Every deck.
How do we forget about that?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Wasteland
yeah.
is really good with
wow,
Renin 6.
Wow, yeah. They shouldn't unban Renin 6
oh,
in Legacy.
No,
that's
yeah.
wild.
And Delver, too. A deck that is already loving
right?
to play
yeah,
a fucking
oh
Wasteland.
Oh, my God. You'll never pain for days, ever.
No, yeah.
That's so funny. Holy
that
cow.
That would be a fun format to play. Legacy with Wasteland and Renin 6. That sounds great.
Holy cow. A lot of the cards on the Legacy ban list are either cards that, like, are banned because you get to play them in Vintage, the next format we're going to talk about, or they're like CEDH staples, because again, they're also, like, busted. So, like, Wheel of Fortune and Time Twister are on this list.
Storm cards.
Tinker is on this list. I don't want to spoil too many of the, like, the Vintage cards, because we're going to go talk about them and what makes that great. But yeah, do you have anything else to say about Legacy?
Not much. I wish it was more affordable, or that more tournaments were proxy friendly, because the format is super fun, but it's a little bit out of reach for a lot of players. None of the stores that I'm aware of in our local area have Legacy tournaments. I'm, like, almost at a Legacy deck. I could borrow some lands from my CDH decks and I would be down one bad lands, but I'm pretty close to having Rakdos Reanimator for Legacy, so I'd be willing if there was something in the area, but there's just not a lot. There's not enough other Legacy players.
And it's not like people won't show up for proxy tournaments. I think if right. any group of people know,
yeah.
it's CEDH
it's
players.
Us. Yeah, people will show up for proxy tournaments. So if you're out there thinking if you should do a Legacy tournament and you think it's possible, do it.
Yeah. There's a surprisingly large amount of overlap between Legacy and CEDH from what I hear.
Yeah, I think CDH feels closer to Legacy than it does to Vintage, I think.
Which I think is blatantly wrong.
You think so?
Yeah, because moving on to
the
Vintage,
fast mana.
If you've ever played Vintage, like between having access to the fast mana, and if you've ever played any of the Storm decks in Vintage, like it doesn't feel like Legacy. It feels completely different.
No, I know Vintage and Legacy feel completely different. I'm saying CDH feels closer to Legacy than it does to Vintage because Vintage has like the fast mana that is no card disadvantage.
I guess that's part of the reason why I think it's more like CEDH.
Because it has fast mana, which Legacy doesn't
which
have.
Which doesn't. Like, Vintage has all of the Moxen. It has Mana Crypt. Like, everything that, like, you would want to see in CEDH that is legal in CEDH.
But no Moxen in CDH.
No, but, like, every deck plays Chrome Mox and Mox Diamond and Lotus Petal to, like, help make up for that fact.
Those cards are all allowed in Legacy.
But not every deck plays Mox Diamond, especially because
that's
you
true.
Already play, like, 17 lands in a lot of those decks.
So because every deck plays Mox, every deck feels like they're playing fast mana, basically, which is what every deck in CDH also feels like. Every deck is playing fast mana.
Like,
I agree with you. I take my point back. CDH is closer to Vintage than it is Legacy.
I think more decks have a much stronger chance of playing two drops on turn one in Vintage as opposed to in Legacy.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you're right.
I think that's what makes me feel like Vintage feels like CEDH more, but I mean, that's all objective too.
What I've been playing recently in Vintage is Bazaar of Baghdad's decks. I don't have real Bazaar of Baghdad's. Obviously, we've just been proxying them, but recently I'm on Countervine, which is fucking awesome. I was on Hogak for a while because Vintage is the only format where I can play a Hogak, which is one of my favorite creatures, but recently those type of decks have been leaning more into Vengevine strategies, no Hogak, and playing more counter spells. So with Squee and with Master of Death, you can basically use your Bazaar of Baghdad, which says discard three cards, draw two cards.
I've never fucking heard of Master of Death.
I'll give you a second.
Enters the battlefield, surveil two. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Master of Death is in your graveyard, you may pay one life. If you do, bring it back to your hand.
That's the part we want because
that's
we're mulliganing
disgusting.
For Bazaar of Baghdad every single game. It allows us to basically gain card advantage through land as well. So what's cool about the deck is it plays no lands that produce mana. No Black Lotus, no Moxes.
Yeah.
Nothing in the deck is cast with mana whatsoever. All of the creatures are things like Vengevine that will come back off of your madness creatures.
This list I'm looking at plays Wasteland and Strip Mine, and they technically add mana.
They technically add mana, but not for anything in the deck.
You're not any spells by tapping lands for mana.
There's no colorless spells in the deck that you're
casting.
Cool.
It is so cool.
Technically, you could use three Wastelands to cast the artifact. What's it called?
The Serum Powder.
Serum Powder. Technically, you could cast a Serum Powder, but that would be so stupid, and it would be impossible. It would never come up.
You've lost in Vintage. You've lost.
But the deck
game
is great. It gets to cheat out a bunch of creatures from the graveyard. It plays Force of Will, Force of Negation, Force of Vigor, everything free.
I'm glad that it's added blue.
It's super fun. It's a super cool deck. Well, I actually haven't played it yet, but we should play it soon because
we definitely should play more Vintage decks.
So we should play more.
There's a lot of these Vintage decks that I want to try out that I haven't. Like, I played the Mono White Initiative deck on Chill to Win before. Last time we played, I played a Storm deck. It was a Tinker deck that tinkered for Bolas of Citadel, and let me tell you, Beseech the Mirror into Tendrils of Agony is hilariously powerful. But like the Jewel Shops decks, I really want to play because Shops has always been a super oppressive Vintage strategy. We were just playing Mishra's Workshops and a ton of artifacts, and now you get fucking Coveted Jewel as a way to just refill your hand.
And it's like not playing nearly as many stack pieces as it used to, right?
No, these used to literally be Smokestacks decks.
Yeah.
The card that gave Stacks its name, you would play that, and this was like before the Golem was restricted.
Lodestone Golem.
I guess we should talk about this too. That's the other difference between Vintage and Legacy, is that there are very few cards actually banned in Vintage. Most of the cards in Vintage that are like too powerful are on the reserve list where
the restricted list
where you're only allowed to play one of them in your deck. So that's where the Mox come in. That's where the rest of the Power 9 comes in. That's where Lodestone Golem is now on the restricted list because it was too good at shutting off your opponents.
Yeah, and since you can't Lodestone Golem, I guess the thought is instead just win instead because you've lost like your most powerful stacks piece. Because the reason why it was so good also was that like they could cast it on like turn two or one sometimes, and it was also five power. Like, it just killed your opponent very dead quickly, and when the entire format is Moxes and very cheap spells, Lodestone shuts it all off.
Definitely glad they made that move, because it definitely it made shops, instead of being a 30% of the meta deck, be like a 20% of the meta deck. And Vintage definitely was a good move.
Vintage was a format that I really only played like at my old local game store, which was Cloud City, like 10 years ago, with like proxies decks that Aaron had or someone had, like after hours, basically. Or just so like with friends at homes. I've never really played in like a Vintage tournament. I know Vintage can do some proxy stuff where they allow like 10 proxies in your deck, or some tournaments will allow you to proxy reserveless cards and stuff like that. I would definitely be down to do some more of those if those don't area, because Vintage is also super blast. The games are just so fast, I think.
Even if they're not like fast in the sense that like they're over on turn one a lot of the time, like they're still pretty quickly paced, even if you're going to turn four or turn five too.
Yes, yeah.
I loved watching like the Vintage Super League when that was a thing. Like that was my main exposure to Vintage back in the day, and it made me want to play the format so bad. And like it's part of the reason why I wanted to get into Magic Online, but like I never ended up pushing into Vintage.
Yeah.
Should we talk about some of the other cards that are like restricted or banned in Vintage?
Please.
A lot of CEDH staples are restricted in Vintage this time, but you do also get to play like Black Lotus, like we said. Channel is restricted. I love Channel. That's a great cube card. Karn the Great Creator is restricted as well. That card just messed up every format.
Yeah, I guess so.
Talarian Academy, Tinker, just like general.
Mana.
Yeah,
too much mana.
Way too much powerful stuff. Yeah,
all the good cards.
How do you feel about attractions and stickers getting banned in Vintage and Legacy?
I think it's overall positive. I think that it adds too much who cares, because everyone had to have a sticker sheet, basically. Not everyone, but if you were, you know, if you were playing the Goblin, it was kind of annoying. If you were playing clones for the Goblin, you also had to kind of bring stickers. It was kind of annoying. There was no negative to revealing stickers. So kind of everyone should have been playing stickers, because you have to let them, your opponent know at the beginning of the game, which means your opponent maybe thinks that you have a sticker and you don't have a sticker. And that could be worth some percentage points of gotcha, but it's just, it's too stupid. It doesn't actually make a difference.
Sometimes you might even like need to clone your opponent's sticker Goblin, right, so that you could win the game, even though you don't own sticker Goblin. So like you would just need to have stickers. So I totally get that. I'm not a fan of them. Get them out of here.
I think they were too confusing. I think they shouldn't have been introduced at the same set. I think stickers and attractions being together also makes it confusing. Is that what it is? Or tickets also come with the...
Tickets are part of attractions.
Tickets are part of attractions, and attractions are another thing that got banned with the stickers, right?
Yeah. Attractions and stickers both at the same time.
Too many different things that were really confusing at the same time.
Nobody knew or cared about how they worked either. This makes for better Magic.
I agree.
Cool. Let's talk about sealed deck next. This is when you get six booster packs and you open them up and you have to build a 40 card deck out of the cards that you open.
Dude, I love doing these, especially with like the pre-release kits that they give you.
I love sealed, yeah.
Now a lot of times it feels like if you want to build like a green black deck, you just take all of the green black cards and you have just about enough cards to make a deck right away. And it's kind of fun to figure out which piles are going to make the best decks. I think it's a good way to make like quick, easy, fun Magic that you don't have to think about. I enjoy playing these decks a lot.
Yeah, me too. This is always the format that you play for FNM. Nope.
Pre-release.
For pre-release. That's what I meant to say. And it's my least favorite of the limited formats. It's definitely a lot slower than some of the other limited formats. And it's very heavily reliant on bombs and removal a lot of the time. Bombs being a limited term for like rares that are super impactful to games that will like win the game on themselves. It can like get you back from being super far behind.
Although those are probably the most important things in draft also is bombs and removal.
They definitely are.
In draft, a lot of times you can make the decks a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, and use tempo to your advantage a little bit better than you can with seals.
And it's easier to make synergistic decks in draft. Yeah, we should move on to talking about draft then too while we're talking about this. These are the limited formats. Drafting is when you have eight people and everyone gets three packs and you open the first pack and you take a card and you pass it to your left. And then you take the pack that was passed to you and you pick a card from that pack and you go through all three packs like that until you build your 40 card deck with those packs.
I've never been great at draft, I will be honest with you. I can't read signs.
Oh, you can't read signs now?
This means that red's open? I don't get that. My first card was red card, so all these other cards are red cards now.
I'm married to my first pick.
I'm just married to my first pick. That one was good. I don't want to waste my first pick, so I just stay on this.
Drafting is my second favorite format, I think, behind CEDH. I prefer draft to modern even. I prefer drafting decks to playing the decks.
Oh, the drafting is the most fun part.
Drafting a deck in Magic is the best part of Magic, I think, is just like sitting down for a draft, either on Arena or in person. Like that anticipation.
What could it be?
What could it be? What rares am I going to open?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Every time. Nothing.
Every time. Nothing.
Yeah, the actual playing, a lot of times I'm like, These cards all suck. These cards are not good. My deck is ass. I don't like playing.
It's definitely a new way of looking at cards. And, like, giving commons a reason to be played, like, I also can really appreciate, too.
It's a fun way to, like, get into the set, too. Because you see where, like, the designers of the Magic cards in the set, you can kind of see what they were after with the set a little bit more. Whereas from CDH, we just get, like, one or two cards and we just play them because they're powerful. But in together with everything else, you kind of see, like, the intricacies of, like, the gameplay and what they were designing the set to feel like. You get that a lot more in Limited and Sealed as well. I think even more in Sealed, because a lot of times the decks are a little bit slower, so you get to see the things kind of like evolve naturally, I guess.
We should try a draft together on Arena, because I think it's a lot easier to see signals with something like that. Because what I like to do when I draft online is I will line up my cards in pick order.
Oh, yeah.
And that will help me go, okay, well, I first picked this black card, my second pick was a white card, and my third pick was a white card, and then I haven't picked any black card since my first pick. Like, is black's not actually open. There's no good. It's like, it just helps me see everything a little bit better that way. A lot of times when you're drafting in person, you just like kind of put the cards down in
face
a pile.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go, what's my mana curve look like? Like, you, there's no real like arranging. Like, after I'm done with that, I can arrange it so that I have my mana curve all lined up, but I keep my removal in a separate section because that's not really part of my mana curve. I'm not always playing removal on turn 3 or on turn 4 when
I have sense.
It.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It helps me visualize everything a lot better. I don't know. I think maybe that might be a way to ease your way into
it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If I were to get back into it, that would probably be the way that I'd do it.
Drafting is the reason why I got into playing Magic electronically, actually, because I was like, I don't always have the time to be at an LGS on 7 o'clock on a Friday. In this way, on a Wednesday at 2 p.m., I could do that if I wanted to.
Keeps you sharp, too. It's a different style of Magic, for sure. Like, it's a lot more about combat. It's a lot more about resource exchange. It's a lot more about tricks and knowing the format, I think. That's a lot of times of knowing, well, what could my opponent have for a green and a white? Is there a pump spell in this format that gives +2, or does it give +3? Knowing that stuff, I feel like you benefit a lot in this format.
My favorite way to draft, though, is the Vintage Cube, though.
Oh, Vintage Cube, yeah.
Favorite thing to do. Last time we drafted a Vintage Cube in person.
Yeah, Tyler's house.
Yeah, our friend Squidward has the entire thing proxied. I drafted this insane Storm deck that went 4-0, and it just was so much fun.
It was so funny to watch that as I, like, drafted Minx and Boo first pick. I'm like, Minx and Boo, this is great. And then I, like, proceeded to make a shitty red-green deck. Like, I have access to everything, and like, maybe I should have splashed Minxun Boo and played some other good stuff rather than just like, yeah, red-green deck, let's do
red-green,
it.
Yeah, I felt that. I mean, Minxun Boo is like the best planeswalker
definitely,
in that
which
format.
Which is why I picked it, but it doesn't mean I have to build a red-green deck around it.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. Like, oh, jeez. No. Red's definitely like one of the worst colors in Vintage Cube.
I can build like a blue-green deck or a blue and whatever and splash one of those colors.
My strategy for Vintage Cube is always play blue.
Blue, right? Yeah, just play blue.
Like, it doesn't even matter if there's two blue cards in my deck.
They're worth it.
It's so much more powerful than anything else I could be doing in the format that, like, I always end up taking blue cards, and that always helps me cut off blue, and that's okay.
Yeah, at least you don't get the blue cards.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I feel about CDH a lot of times, if when I'm not playing blue, of like, this feels so difficult.
Oh, I know.
It's so unnecessarily
honestly,
difficult.
Honestly, if any format feels like CEDH, it's Vintage Cube.
Yes.
Which is, like,
say,
weird
yeah.
that, like, it's the format that you have to draft, but, like, when you're actually playing the games, like, again, you have access to the Moxen, like, you can play Mox Diamond, like, all the fast mana crypt, like, you have access to, and, like, a lot of the win conditions are also there, like, Brain Freeze and Underworld Breach is basically just,
together.
Like, Splinter Twin in the deck. Like, any deck.
Yeah, next time we play, which I think we have a date scheduled to play with Tyler again for Vintage
Cube.
I'm not available for that day.
No.
Since you're not there, I'll draft Storm, and I'll talk about it afterwards.
It is only good if no one else is drafting Storm. I'll tell you that, though. Yeah.
I got to be able to see the signals, know that
you
it's
You got
to
see the signals. What I will do is Storm will normally not be my first strategy, but if, like, halfway into pack one, I start to notice that there's Storm cards coming around, that's when I'll move into it. My pack one, pick one, I got very lucky, was Time Walk, so that was very obvious, right? Like, I still like to start off taking the most powerful card
in the pack. That makes sense.
And then you side into Storm when you realize, like, oh, LED came around. Oh, this card, like, Turnabout came around. Oh, High Tide came around. Okay, this is piecing together.
Okay, that makes sense.
Don't force it, because if, like, someone else does it, you're screwed.
That's a great advice for life. Don't force it.
Don't force it, yeah, really.
Only do it when it comes to you.
I have one more format to talk about.
Okay.
Because what that means now is we can do a separate podcast later. That's all the other obscure formats that I have here that we didn't get to talk about today, but that's a whole other podcast.
Wait, are you going to say Canlander, or are we not going to talk about Canlander?
Canlander's going on the
Commander Variants podcast, maybe?
The Commander Variants. Are there enough Commander Variants? I guess, yeah, because Oathbreaker's
but
one.
We have no experience in any of them.
But that's what will make that list fun, because, like, I have no pre-modern, old school, and barely any Dan or extended lists.
Okay, yeah. So we didn't talk about Popper either. That's a popular
that's
one.
That's actually last format that I have on here.
Let's go.
Only because it's exploding in popularity.
You've been waiting for that.
Shut up.
Joke went over great.
Joke. All right, great.
Type it down. Good joke.
Dear diary, Dylan laughed.
That was a very funny joke today.
All right, so when I still had my full-time job, I would come home from work and I would say, Courtney, guess what I said that made people laugh today? Like every day.
That's the highlight of your day.
That's the highlight. I don't give a shit about anything else, but I made a really good joke and people laugh.
Popper, only commons.
Speaking of a really good joke.
This format sucks. No.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
No, yeah. Popper's only commons. To me, it's like Star Wars with the lightsabers. No lightsabers, no mythic rares. That's what Popper feels like.
But Dylan, you still get to play a lot of powerful cards, and it's still a busted format.
That's true, but no mythic rares, which is the cards that I like.
Those are the fun cards to me. Like, yeah. Like, they ban all the storm cards, and that's what would have made Popper fun, is if I could play all the storm cards.
I've played a little Popper. I've played blue-black, which is like a Delver deck. I've played that type
of... Yeah, like the Gurmag Angler deck?
Yeah, I've played those decks a couple times in the past. I've never loved it. I know the people who do play Popper really enjoy it, so I'm not poo-pooing on anyone. If you like Popper, that's awesome. There's no one that doesn't like Popper that plays it.
That's
you know
true.
I mean?
Which does say something. Yeah.
It's only like there are some like Commander people play and they don't really love Commander, but they play it because their friends play it. Popper, I feel like that's not the case. If you play Popper, it's small enough that you love Popper. That's why you play it.
Well, hold up. I will argue that they do complain every once in a while, because every once in a while there's like a fucked up enough common that all the Popper players are like, hey guys, our format does kind of suck right now.
Yeah.
Like all that glitters just got hit with the ban in the format.
It is a little strange that because of like Commander products, they can print things at common rarity, but they're not really like they're coming at the same rarity as everything else in that deck. So they're not true commons, and Wizards can just like manually put stuff into commons. So that part kind of feels like Wizards is controlling it more than what a commons format like feels like at first glance. But I think that's kind of okay though, because Wizards, for the most part, we like to, you know, shit on them, but they kind of do know what they're talking about.
They
especially
do, yeah.
Gavin in particular focuses on that format. And I think it's probably a good thing to have that oversight coming from there.
We all think we know what to do to fix things, but the reality is none of us actually know what to do. The only other thing I would say about Popper 2 is that it does suffer from that same kind of pseudo-rotation, though, because as we get more Modern Horizon sets, the cards at common are going to be continually more pushed as well. So, like, it's going to suffer the same pseudo rotation that Modern does in that same way.
I think also that's okay. Like,
I shouldn't say
I agree.
Suffer's the wrong word. Suffer makes it seem really negative. I like that in a format.
Yeah, and that's all formats. That's how Magic has to be. That's the type of game that this is. Every couple months, new sets come out and pushes old things out, and sometimes those sets are going to be powerful, and that's fun because new cards that are strong are fun.
But do I have any interest in playing Popper as a format? No.
Let's rank these formats. What are these formats
great
ranking
idea.
For you?
Great idea. Okay.
For your personal list, let's do that.
We should start at the bottom.
All right, yeah. What's your least favorite of the decks, the formats that we talked about?
I think Popper.
Popper, okay.
What's yours?
I have no interest in playing Popper.
That's how I am.
I have a small amount of interest in all the other formats. Popper, I have basically no interest.
I have no interest. Yeah, when I got my Magic Online account, I played the Kadatha Rebirth deck for a little while and like had pseudo fun with it.
That's not enough.
Fun way to
pseudo
say
fun
that.
Isn't
yeah.
enough.
Pseudo fun.
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to take next? Better than Popper.
For me, Draft is next.
You're going to say Draft is next,
yeah.
Wow,
sorry,
okay.
I actually like Sealed more than Draft, and I don't like them each that much.
Wow, okay. I'm going to say Legacy is next for me. I just have never cared about it.
For me, after that is Sealed is next. I do still like Draft and Sealed. I enjoy playing them. I enjoy Sealed and Draft, doing that more than almost anything else in my life, probably. Except for these other formats. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like the only thing that ranks higher than Sealed in your life
is these
other formats. Yeah. Everything else, like family and your dogs
way
and
below.
Food. Yeah, that's all
food,
way
come on, down at
below.
The
like, it's Popper and then your family and dogs and then Sealed and Draft.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. I'm going with Standard as my next one.
Okay.
Because it is always hit or miss, and it's not something I want to build in paper.
That's fair enough. For me, I'm going to say Standard is also next.
Standard is next after Sealed then?
Yeah, Standard is next after Sealed. The only reason I would play Standard is to go play in an RCQ, which is fun.
That sounds good. I'm going to go Pioneer next, because if there is going to be another 60-card format that I get into in paper, it's going to be this format. I guess I would love to put a 6/5 Ward Sacrifice a Creature flyer into play for 3 mana. I think I would have a lot of fun doing that, and I don't think I would have a lot of interest in exploring the format past this, but that's where that's at.
My next pick is also Pioneer. We're on the same pick for the last two? Well, yeah, okay, that should be good. That makes sense, right?
They're not at the same level, but we did end up picking them like back to back.
Pioneer is my next as well. I don't have Pioneer together right now. I would play that Rakdos deck. It seems fun enough if I knew that I would actually ever play the format.
And we both like Pioneer more than Standard too.
True. More powerful cards. That's what I like at the end of the day, is most powerful stuff.
Next, I'm going to go with Vintage. Vintage, just because, again, it's not something that I'll play with in paper, and I don't really have a lot of opportunities to play the format, even if I did have a proxy deck. However, I love playing the format, and it is a bunch of fun. So definitely very high on the list.
Vintage is also my next one. It's the one that I like the most, except for Legacy and Modern, which are the things that come after this. But Vintage is also great. It comes next for me.
Nice. And then after that, I'm going to put Sealed. I'm going to put Sealed next. I do love Sealed, but I do think it has its problems.
That makes sense. Legacy is next for me. I love Legacy a lot. I wish I could play it more. I like my deck a ton. I just don't have enough ways to play it right now, but I'm working on that.
I think after this, then, I am choosing Modern, because we are running out of things to choose, and I fucking love Modern, and it's always been my favorite 60-card format.
This is my last pick, right? Because now I will pick Modern, because it is my favorite of these formats that we've talked about today, because it's the format that I play the most, and I think it is the most balanced, if that's the right word. It's a good competitive format with still having lots of powerful, strong cards. Legacy is a little broken. It's a little, you know, too much,
yeah.
Which I enjoy. Modern is kind of like balanced, you know what I mean? It's meant to stay at a certain level of fairness, but still having powerful things. Modern's my favorite.
And my favorite would be Draft here. Definitely something that I wasn't doing as much since we started the channel, but over the past couple months, especially Outlaws of Thunder Junction has really gotten me back into Draft. There's definitely a power level curve that I'm currently learning, because a lot of cards that used to be good when I was heavier into Draft like 4 years ago are no longer good on rate anymore, but I still find myself picking those cards because I'm like, a 1/1 with Death Touch, that's great. 3/3 flyers for 4 mana. That's busted. And then like, these aren't playable cards anymore. So
interesting. That's a lot. I've only drafted the format twice now, and both times I was able to find the 4-mana 6/5 with Trample, the green one. And I was like, great, green. I'll just do green stuff. It's awesome.
Green is the best color in the format.
So
too,
I've heard. Yeah.
Far.
So like, yeah. This is wonderful. I feel great to be here.
Yeah. So I've been loving Draft. I'm very excited to draft Modern Horizons. I'm very excited for all draft formats coming up. And the only cam series on Patreon is going to continue to be monthly draft videos, because I love them so much.
I love to hear it. Thanks so much for watching or listening. If you like Sports Directly, you can do so on the Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Olden Groompy, Obsidian, Gecko21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Kajo Alex, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, SoCal Acura, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Goat09, Kwaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, and Baby G-Bus.
Want to pick up any of our merch? You can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Huge shout out to Dragon Shield. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Use code playtowin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Thank you so much to Nicholas Saxby, Jacob Bauer, Luca Bressel, the Big Mike, Nicholas Boulder, Reactive, Tyler Watson, Brian Barrington, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H, X Tyler the Tree X, Malcraft, Driving Crooner, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin, Man Solo, Pedro, Jacob Depp, Michael Ballou, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.